If you have your Bible, let me invite you to turn with me this morning to that great prophet Jeremiah, chapter 6, starting in verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruits of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but have rejected it. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love, your mercy in our lives. We thank you for all the good things you so wonderfully give to us and shower upon us. Lord, we're not worthy of these things, but because of your grace, your mercy, and your love for us, you're constant, and we thank you for that. Father, there are those that we have on our hearts and minds right here this morning that need a very special touch from you. Father, there are those that need a physical touch. There are those, Father, that need to be encouraged. Father, lifted up, strengthened spiritually. So, Father, even this morning, as we're here in this place at this time, we recognize that you have promised to be right here in our midst, and we thank you for being here. Now we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would have free sway in our midst. You speak to our hearts. You minister to us as only you can, so that we might leave this place and say, oh, it was good to be with the people of God, in the house of God, on the day of worship of God, and worshiping the Lord Jesus. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. You know, our children seldom hear the words right or wrong, but they are bombarded daily with millions of hours of sights and sounds and images that glamorize immorality. They mock God, they mock biblical truth, and they mock biblical values. That's the kind of world we're living in. Many have good intentions, but they have weak biblical understanding. They use defective reasoning. Their logic is very, very poor. They don't know the difference between what is novel and what is sinful. Profane and vulgar language is everywhere embraced as normative. Relevance is the engine that drives the agenda, and truth has been relegated to the back seat of the bus. The slope has gone from being slippery to a dangerous precipice in which we're all falling headlong. You know, perhaps we need to heed Jeremiah when he quotes the Lord God Almighty by saying, stand ye in the ways. Stop running around. Stop running around like a chicken with your head cut off. Stop trying all these new things. How about trying the tried and true things? How about giving yourself over to me? How about trusting me? How about having confidence in me? You have confidence in every other thing. How about confidence in me? Stand in the ways and see what I will do. Paul directs the commission for us over there in Acts. He quotes Jesus. He says, open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that you may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jeremiah says, ask for the old paths, the tried and true ways. It's about time we get back to some of that, don't you think? You know, there's an old children's song that says this, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know. It doesn't say, Jesus loves me, this I'm hoping for. It says, Jesus loves me, this I... That's a child's song. We should already know that. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It does not say, because I feel good today, that I can be confident in what the Lord is doing. It does not say, because I figured it all out. But it does say, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You see, friends, What the Scripture tells us is God's truth. When we embrace God's truth, we're standing on firm ground. When we do not embrace God's truth, we're standing on shifting sands. One day it'll be accepted, tomorrow it won't. One day it'll be popular, tomorrow it won't. One day this is the thing to do, the next day it will not be the thing to do. The psalmist tells us, Psalms 119, "Thy word is true from the very beginning, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." You see, the Lord wants to give us peace, rest for our souls. Well, we live in a tumultuous time, don't we? Wouldn't it be nice to just have a little comfort, peace, stillness in the heart? We can, if we'll listen. What has Jeremiah said? Jeremiah is using the imagery of travelers who have lost their way. And he says God is calling them. He's calling them back. Calling them back to truth. Calling them back to goodness. Calling them back to himself. Calling them back to righteousness. Paul tells us over in Romans chapter 15, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for what? For our learning." This part right here, written before aforetime, written for our learning. Jeremiah is speaking to us that we might learn. Paul says over in 1 Corinthians, he says this, "Now all these things that happened unto them." So when we go back in the Old Testament and we look at what the circumstances were, we look at how people were, we look about to how God dealt with them and the ramifications of their actions. Paul says, "Now all these things that happened to them were done for an example, and they're written for us, for our admonition." He's admonishing us. Learn something upon which the ends of the world have come. The Lord says, stand in the ways and see. Notice that word ways is plural. There's just not one path, but there are many. There are many directions in which a person might go. There are many voices out there that are calling us and they're telling us, this is the way to go. Come this way. Let's do it this way. Follow me. I'm going here. This is exciting. This is wonderful. Come along with me. All the time, we're being enticed to go one way or another. Matter of fact, I don't really think you can ever just stand still. I don't think there's any neutral ground. You're going one way or you're going another. You may be going one way and a headlong rush like a freight train out of control, or you might be doing it inch by inch, but you're going. You're going. These voices tell us, well, I know God says this, but those are old precepts. Surely we can change those and bring those up to date a little bit, compromise a little bit here, compromise there, and we'll do better. The majority. Surely when the majority is doing something, that means that we can do it. It can't be wrong. We're a nation that is ruled by majority rule. And so these voices are always telling us these things. They're saying, follow our example. Don't be an old fuddy-duddy. You're missing all the fun. You know, not too many days back, I was in the hospital and sister was telling me about her sister, and she was saying something about this gal, and she hadn't lived a very virtuous life. She was very concerned about her salvation. And so she was wanting me, first and foremost, to share the gospel with her. I did that. Unfortunately, this lady couldn't respond other than by just moving. Because she's on a respirator, she couldn't speak, all those kind of things. But the sister took me out in the hall, wanted to tell me something about this, and she said, "You know, I'm so glad, Pastor, you came by and you talked to my sister." She said, "You know, if she dies, I just want to have that assurance in my heart that she's gone on to be with the Lord. I know she's lived a very wicked life, but I know God is gracious." You know, she's right. God is gracious. God will deal with us even to the crushing. God is dealing with that person even unto death. Every person, even unto death. God doesn't give up. We give up, but God doesn't give up. She said, there was a time When my sister made a profession and came down front and did everything right, she said, but I just really never saw any fruit. And so I'm just very concerned. She says, I guess that sinful lifestyle was just too exciting. And I thought to myself, and I said to her, exciting? What's exciting about waking up on the floor in your own vomit? What's exciting about that? What's exciting about being physically devastated because of the lifestyle that you're taking part in? What's exciting about that? What's exciting about not knowing from one day or another what's happening around you because you're in a drunken stupor, drug-induced? What's exciting about that? I don't think anything exciting about it at all. But, you know, I think that that's what the devil's always saying. He's always saying to the world, listen, follow me. What I got going is fun and exciting. What God's got going is boring. God's offering you eternal life, but that's heaven by and by, way off over there. I'm offering you fun, excitement right now. He doesn't go on to say, of course, that fun and excitement really isn't fun and excitement at all, and it's going to end tragically, but that's what he's always saying, isn't he? Waving that lure in front of us that we might strike. Take the bait. Take the bait. Well, the events of recent days with the death of Michael Jackson really show us the world's values. And what the world values. Dead at 51 years old. You don't have to raise your hand here this morning, but are you older than 51? 51. Man, that's the prime of life, isn't it? The news, of course, began immediately a frenzy of reporting 24 hours a day. For a week, you couldn't turn the television on without that being on there someplace. I just kept trying to, turn it off, do whatever, go to the weather channel. It was just a constant drumbeat of praise, adulation, and glorification of Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson held up as a picture of accomplishment and success, an icon of American music, a king of pop, they said. Knew hardly a word was mentioned about his lifestyle. Hardly a word was mentioned about his behavior. Hardly a word was mentioned about his problems. You know what really happened was a story tragic. Depravity, drugs, excess that led to destruction. Here was a very gifted young man, but he was mixed up. He was hooked by the values of the world. Mixed up on all the values. Of course, he came from a very dysfunctional family. Understandable somewhat. He was mixed up about his own race. Mixed up about his own sex. You know, the term unisex came from Michael Jackson. What is he, boy or girl? Nobody knew. I don't know that he knew. He was tormented. Tormented by fear. Tormented by uncertainty. And finally, dominated, it surely appears, by drugs. This is not someone to set on a pedestal for an example for our young people to follow. But rather, it's a clear picture of a life destroyed by the world's value, by what Satan pulls out to us. A life with so much promise, wasted, cut short. Instead of embracing and glorifying his lifestyle, we ought to be saying, watch out. Look what this does. But you know, the devil always pays in counterfeit money. He always does. The king of pop, dead at 51. May God have mercy on his soul. Tragic. This is a story of tragedy. You know, there are many different paths, many different directions a person can go. What's wrong with taking the good way? What's wrong with taking the proven way? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, "Enter ye in the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that what leads to destruction." You see, that's really the easy way. And many that go in. "But strait is the gate," Jesus said, "and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it." You know, when I was in college, I had a psychology teacher, Mrs. Stiegel. I'll never forget her. She was just feisty, rambunctious, I don't know, all kinds of words. Redhead. You know, she lived up to her hair, too, man. I think her hair might have been dyed a little bit, but she was definitely fiery. And she taught psychology, of all things. And I started out with her in her class, and she said, "You know, I know something that no one can take away from you, and that's education." Then she said, "Now, I want you to go tell me your name, and you tell me something." So I said, "Well, my name is Mike Harris, and I know something else that nobody can take away from you. If you've got Jesus in your heart, you have all that there is." I don't know if she liked that or not, but she started talking to me pretty regularly. When she found out I was supposed to be a preacher, I think she was on a crusade. This kid needs to learn something. My English teacher, Mrs. Panova, the same thing. When I wrote my first paper and it was so terrible, and she found out I was studying to go in the ministry, I think it was a personal reclamation process. You know, somebody's got to do something with this kid. So anything that I do right, you can credit those ladies to. They put a lot of time and energy. But Mrs. Stiegel came into class one day and she said, "You know, I met with one of my very dear friends the other day, and she was just heartbroken. One of her children, who was a teenager, has just been put in the Escambia Wood Youth Center type of jail." She said she was just devastated, her and her husband. And she was just crying and pouring her heart out to me. And she said, "Mary, you know, I don't know what I've done wrong. I've read all the books. I've tried to do all the things. I've tried to improve everything that we did, my husband and I. And it seems like everything just went wrong in little Johnny's life." Mrs. Stiegel said, "I asked her one question. You have three other children. Two are doctors and one's a lawyer. Why did you change your pattern?" Well, that's a good question. When something works, why are you changing your pattern? Why are you searching around for something else? When it brings such good success, when it brings the promise, when it lays that foundation, why are you searching for something else? I don't know what it is. It's strange. Here's a guy who's in prison, and we're going to follow his example. Here's a guy who tried to steal a car or something, and he's got his pants down to here, and the police didn't have any problem catching him because he can't run. Couldn't go anyplace. "Go on, Fred. Let's go, Fred. Let's go. Hurry, hurry." The police could pull up, eat a donut, and catch him. And, of course, you know, the guy with a crooked hat who can't run, he's the one, you know. Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. Are we so silly? I think we are. You know, whose job is it? Whose job is it to turn the tide? It's not the world's job. It's our job. Whose responsibility is it? It's ours, isn't it? It's not the world's. It's ours. Jesus said over in Matthew, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherein shall it be salted? It's good for nothing. Throw it out. Trodden underfoot. You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden." Then he says what? "Let your light so shine that they may see" what? "Your good works." And then what are they going to do? "Glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Friends, it's up to us. You know, it may feel like that it's a tidal wave, a tsunami, and nobody can do anything about it. And I would agree with you 100% that it is all those things. But one with God can turn back the Red Sea. One with God can stop the lion's mouths. One with God is a majority. You've got everything you need to do the job. You know, I read a story, but the problem is, I read a story. This guy's going to the checkout line, gets up to the cash register, and the girl looks over and says to him, "Oh my, sir, are you all right?" And the guy says, "Well, I think so." She says, "Well, you just look so terrible. You look so run down. You look like maybe you're having a heart attack. You know, is there something I can do?" He says, No. He says, "I'm just a pastor." Friends, some of that's us. Some of us, they're not wrong. They're right. But it should not be so. It shouldn't be so. What have you got to worry about? What have you got to fear? There ought to be a smile on your face from ear to ear every day of your life. Now, I know that sometimes in the midst of tragedy and heartache, it's hard. But listen, friend, one with Jesus, and we're victors. We can do anything that He asks us to do. But we reject those kind of salty ministries because it's unpopular. And popularity drives most of what we do. Growth and numbers are the only thing we're worried about. But you see, Christ's kingdom is more than style, isn't it? There must be substance. Otherwise, it's just icing on the cake. Candles, bells, dramas, electronics, all these things can be used and funneled for God's purposes. But let's bring back our commitment to the Holy Spirit of God working in our midst. Let's not come and say, "Well, I hope the preacher can really make me laugh today because I'm down." Let's come expecting God to be. You know, the sign says something about holiness. You know, Jerry, I've seen that several times all over town about the holiness of God. I wonder what God is doing. I think He's trying to stir His people up. I think He's sifting. Guys, wake up. Have you not traveled to places in the world where the gospel is spreading like wildfire? Have you not read about it? Have you not seen it? What are they doing? Now, some of these places don't have air conditioning. They don't have electricity. But they do have prayer. They do preach the gospel uncompromisingly. They give sacrificially. It may not be much, but it's sacrificial, and God will multiply that. They are witnessing to their friends and all those around them. They are worshiping in spirit and in truth, and they come with expectation of God showing up in their midst. And we read the magazine. We go, "Wow, look at that." We hear the reports. Africa, Far East, kinds of places where God is shifting, sifting, shaking. They hardly have anything materially. They're rich in faith. You know, if you're stumbling around in life, maybe you ought to just stop. Say to yourself, "Lord, where's the old path at? Where's that tried and true place?" But we walk on. And one of the things that the Lord was speaking to me these past couple of weeks as I was on vacation was just that. In this, that God was saying to me, we need to get back to teaching God's word and depending upon me, the Holy Spirit, to do my work. Because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Well, I'm going to rededicate myself to just doing that. Try to get closer to the Lord. Try to walk His path. Try to listen to His voice. Seek His faith. Do what He would have me to do. I'm not going to worry about you. I'm going to bring myself into that circle, close fellowship. There are many paths out there, aren't there? Many voices. They can go this way, go that way. But listen, many lead to destruction. Stand in the way, the Lord said, and see. Ask for the old path, that good way, and I'll bless you. I'll bless you. You know, we don't need to be embarrassed, and we don't need to be ashamed about clinging to and standing on the precepts of the Word of God. The other folks need to be embarrassed. The other folks, these are the ones, be fearful. Stand. See. Walk. In my head. Heavenly Father, this morning we come to you as we do many, many times, Lord, and we recognize that we're neglectful. We've grown slothful, lazy. We're comfortable in our sin, and we're uncomfortable with you. Father, this morning as we come to this point, I just pray that you would speak to us who are here today, who name the name of Jesus, that we'd want more of you and less of the icing of the world. That we would have an understanding in our hearts that would enable us by the power of the Holy Spirit to discern right from wrong. And we would reject what is wrong and cleave to what is right. And we'd be bold. We'd be bold in that our witness is truthful. It's not a put-on thing. It's who we are. It's that joy that comes from that inner peace and the joy of the Lord that would shine through and radiate in our lives. So use this, Lord, and touch our world. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name.